Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Back, everybody, to Today's Issues. We got 24 minutes and 20 seconds left of this show for today on this Monday, July the 10th, live radio. And we thank you for joining us. I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson and now Steve Paisley Jordahl, donning a Paisley tie.
He is.
To keep in.
I am.
Keep your reputation going.
I got it. You know, I've got something to live up to here. I got it.
You do wear Paisley two or three times a week.
I really wasn't wearing Paisley two or three times a week until I acquired a nickname. But since
who
I
gave that to you,
I don't
Steve?
Know. Whoever it is very important to me. So I'm leaning in.
I probably need to be contributing to your clothing.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
Clothing allowance.
All right. So the movie.
Something. Okay. Have you guys seen The Sound of Freedom yet?
I have not. Tim has.
I saw it yesterday.
All right, folks. If you haven't seen this movie, I saw it over the weekend. It's hard to watch. But it's a very good movie talking about a very serious issue, and it is doing very well at the box office. It has after the weekend, it has made $40 million. It debuted over the weekend. We said last Thursday that it debuted on Friday at the top of the charts. It was the biggest grossing movie on the 4th of July. For the 4th of July weekend, it came in number 3, but still the highest premiering movie. $40 million is from a $12.5 million budget, so they're doing really well. And they are hoping that this kind of moves the needle. This is a kind of a message film. I want to play you a couple clips of two people. First, I'm going to talk about Neil Harmon. Neil Harmon is the CEO of Angel Studio. Angel Studio is the studio that produced this. Think like Warner Brothers or United Artists or whatever. This is Angel Studio, and it's a different kind of studio in that it's crowdsourced. They have thousands of donors. Some give fairly marginal amounts, but combined, they support the studio, and they get a vote onto which projects the studio takes on, and they voted very quickly. This one came in record time. But I want you to hear Neil Harmon of Angel Studio on The Sound of Freedom and what he hopes the movie will accomplish. Cut 3.
The performance that he gives in this film is so authentic. He calls it his best, aside The Passion of the Christ. They greenlit this show in like 24 hours' time. And then we signed an agreement like 5 days later. Like, the speed at which this film has come to market is breathtaking. Our hope is that after somebody watches this film, that they'll pause and they'll think through their sphere of influence and ask themselves what they can do. This movie is being called the must-watch film of the decade. In fact, somebody said this is the best movie of the century.
The that they were talking about at the top there, I should have said.
They must have Trump doing their promotions.
I think so. Jim Caviezel.
Former President Trump,
right.
Respectful. I'm just joking because everything is the greatest and amazing, right?
Yes. Jim Caviezel is the guy that they were talking about as the actor that stars in this. And as far as when I was talking with Neil, I was joking with him. Neil, if you're listening, I love you, but he didn't seem to get the joke because he said this line, and the very next thing I said was, well, have you thanked your mom for saying that about the movie? To which he said, no, I can prove it. I have the documentation. He said, no, I believe you, Neil. I really do.
Sound of Freedom.
The Sound of Freedom.
Okay. Yeah, saw it yesterday, and very impressed.
Or actually, no, there's just Sound of Freedom. My fault. My bad.
Sound of Freedom.
Sound of Freedom.
It was very well done. The lead actor is Jim Caviezel, as it was just mentioned here, and he did an outstanding. I don't know how to judge actors other than what you see on the movie or in a play, and he just did an outstanding job. The storyline is about child human trafficking or child trafficking, so it's a heavy topic.
Yes.
Right.
And there's a little language in it.
So when Allison and I, my wife, when I were talking about going to see this movie, a little bit of me said, I don't really want to see that because that's a depressing topic. Who wants to, you know, who wants to sit two hours plus of that? But the movie, really tells a gripping story, and it does have a good ending, and it promotes a problem that's in society that's underground. A lot of it that is the child, I guess, sex trafficking that goes on. As I say, it's really hard to even talk about, but they handle it in a way that's, you know, well done, I would say. Don't you think so, Steve?
Yeah, there was, they implied all the abuse in the movie. Yeah. They didn't, obviously,
didn't get graphic.
They did not show any of the abuse, but you knew what was happening. And again, it had a little bit of language. So just know that. I don't think it would be appropriate to take young kids.
Oh, no.
All, but
yeah, there are three or four words in there that you know, so people should be
alert. Full disclosure. You know, but it is an issue. Neil Harmon told me that he was hoping to put 2 million people in the theaters to watch this over the weekend, because that's the number of children that will be trafficked in the United States this year, 2 million.
How do they get their numbers? Do you know? Because that just sounds crazy high to me.
It does. State Department, the Bureau, the FBI keeps, the Justice Department keeps records. And I saw some, you know, they keep records not just on sex trafficking, but on labor trafficking as well, which is another genre of this, where they kidnap somebody and make them work. You know,
do you know how do you, are you going to see it, Fred? Do you plan on going to see it? Or
I want to see it, okay, because number one, it's based on a real story.
Yeah,
Caviezel plays a role of an individual who sets out to rescue these kids.
Yeah,
right.
That's his role in this, and also we've been made aware of this, and I know you have a clip of Steve Tiber, our own Steve Tiber, of 8 Days of Hope. His ministry is now getting very much involved in creating safe places.
Yes.
When these kids are rescued, safe places so they can recover from this horrible, horrible experience. And do you want to say anything else before?
Yeah, this is him. He's talking here about a safe house that they are opening up in Ohio. Now, they, for security and privacy and safety reasons, do not get more specific pretty much than, you know, like a town or a state. They won't tell you how to get there. And they do background checks for everybody, that the skilled labor that they bring in, the plumbers, electricians who build these houses, and they sign a non-disclosure agreement. Because they have these kids are taken to these houses. And I asked Steve, why don't they just send them back to their homes? He says they leave their home, and 6 weeks later, a year later, however many time later, they have tattoos. They are wounded beyond measure. They don't know how to, and the family has been traumatized too. So their job is to kind of reintegrate that. But listen to Steve Tiber talking about what he hopes this movie will do, and what they're doing about it. Cut four.
The movie is so well done, and I'm so glad that it's been attended, you know, so heavily across the country, because this story needs to be told. The church needs to know this is real. It's happening in your backyard. It just doesn't happen in Las Vegas and New Orleans and New York City, but it happens in Wichita, Kansas, and Rochester, New York, and everywhere in between. You know, 8 Days of Hope is going to be building this facility over the next 9 months. This will be the largest safe house for children rescued from trafficking in the Northeast. It's 12 buildings on the campus. There's 6 cottages. Each child gets their own room. They get emotional, physical, and spiritual support for as long as they need it.
That's Steve Tiber from 8 Days of Hope.
It is indeed.
It's, yeah. You know, what's interesting, the mainstream media is not doing this story.
Or it's, if they're doing it, they're certainly doing it disjustice.
Not just about the movie, but you don't see a lot of stories in the mainstream media about the crisis of human trafficking. And I think a lot of it has to do, especially in recent years, since Joe Biden became president, with open borders.
Yeah.
Because we know a lot of these kids are being taken, abducted in Central America, South America, and perhaps other parts of the world, being brought across our southern border and are being handed over to individuals who then abuse these kids.
And by the way, some kids are kidnapped in this country and yes. taken across that border the other way.
Yeah.
But when they do talk about it, and CNN had a little bit of an article, spent some time on this movie, but I tell you, you know you've lost the plot when you decide to side with human traffickers just to own conservatives. Again, Angel Studio is done some Christian stuff. They're the ones behind the series about Jesus Chosen. Called The Chosen. And so liberals do not like them. Listen to what they said on CNN and Cut 5.
Films are created out of moral panics. They're created out of bogus statistics. They're created out of fear. And with something like Sound of Freedom, it specifically is looking at QAnon concepts of these child trafficking rings that are run by the high-level elites and only people like Tim Ballard and only people like Jim Caviezel. And by extension, only people like the ticket buyer can help bring these trafficking rings down.
Yeah, and I saw a little bit from this guest on CNN, and I'll tell you what, here's a huge problem. These kids being abducted and abused, and CNN is trying to tell us, it's not real. It's a conspiracy theory out there. It's just these crazy conservatives pushing an agenda. That's how they're dismissing this.
Yeah. The QAnon link comes at some point. There was a conspiracy theory about a pizza parlor somewhere that had a trafficking ring that was run by Hillary Clinton. All patently false. And no one serious took any of that seriously. But that's enough for them to say, okay, you're all conservatives, you're all conspiracy theorists, and this isn't happening. Astonishingly.
I will say, though, that there are... there have been louder reports over the years about this kind of thing going on in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Corey Feldman, you remember him?
Yes.
The child actor?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he tells the whole story about how he was. I don't know how widespread this pedophilia I'm talking about is in Hollywood, but he was saying it's a real problem.
There's abuse in Hollywood. I don't know that they would consider that trafficking because he was never taken from his home.
That's
and
true.
He wasn't sold. That's true. And just think no further than what's the girl that did the Calvin Klein commercials when she was like 12 and was so sexualized growing up?
Brooke Shields?
Brooke Shields. That's another one that could have that claim as well.
That's what I'm saying. There have been numerous credible stories over the years about how rampant at least underage
is a sickness in this country.
What would you say?
Abuse?
In Hollywood.
Yeah.
About.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. The movie there is called
Sound of Freedom.
Sound of Freedom. Next story.
All right. So we're just past the one-year anniversary of the Dobbs decision. This is the landmark decision that overturned Roe v. Wade. And so Gallup and Rasmussen combined to do a poll. How are Americans thinking about this? Now, if you listen to the mainstream media, they will tell you that the majority of Americans are pro-abortion, or pro-choice, as they would put it, and they want to allow women to have abortions. Well, that's not what the polling found. According to this poll, 52% of Americans support the Dobbs decision. 37% of those strongly. And the question wasn't twisted. The question was straightforward. The question was, last year the Supreme Court overturned the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision so that each state can now determine its own laws regarding abortion. Do you approve or disapprove of the court overturning Roe v. Wade? 52% said, we approve. By the way, the weekend after the decision, 50% of America said they approved of it. That's risen slightly since then.
Well, do you know what the other number was?
The disapproval?
Mm-hmm.
44% said they disapprove. 36% said they strongly disapprove.
Okay. So, I think the Dobbs decision, which originated in our state of Mississippi, which made its way to the Supreme Court again a year ago today, not today, but a year ago around this time, well, back in June, the Supreme Court announced that Roe versus Wade was overturned. And the left wing in this country and the media just went crazy with just scaring people, trying to say, you know, the right wing Taliban's taken over America. And they exploited that, I think, to their advantage in the
midterms,
yeah. I should say. But all they did was, which you're saying now a majority of Americans approve of, all it did was say that abortion law should be left to the states.
Yes.
And now the majority of Americans are saying that was the right decision, right?
Yes.
So I just don't know how much the pro-abortion and sadly many of the Democrats are going to be able to use that. They want to use that again in 2024 to beat conservatives and pro-lifers over the head.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's going to work again. I do think it worked to a certain extent last time in the midterms, but I just don't think it's going to work again. I think the Dobbs decision has sort of faded.
It's baked in now.
It's faded from it, baked in. And how would you disagree with the idea that New York, the state of New York and the state of Oklahoma should both be allowed to make their own abortion laws?
Yeah.
Why does somebody in Maryland care what somebody in Alabama does?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that's what the decision that was made. And now you're seeing that 52%, not a big majority, but a majority of Americans.
So it was a good decision.
Quite frankly, it is a big majority when you consider how much the left-wing news media had promoted and, you know, the idea that the Dobbs decision was terrible.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
It was so anyway. All right, that's good. That's good to hear.
Did you put that
was Rasmussen Gallup?
That was a Rasmussen Gallup poll. Yes.
Those are reputable polling firms.
They are. And you ask how somebody in one state could opposed what's going on. This is how they did this, because the left decides if they want something, they declare it a right, either a human right or a constitutional right. So when Dobbs was decided, you heard over and over and over again, the court has stripped women of a fundamental constitutional right, which it is not. You cannot just, because you like something, you can't say it's a right. I like to
constitutional
drive.
Constitutional right.
I like to drive, but it's not a right. And so they're doing that. They did this also, long as we're here, they did this also. Corinne Jean-Pierre was talking about the recent Supreme Court decision on affirmative action. And the White House did not like that at all. And so listen to what she said about that. Cut two.
Dobbs decision, that was something that was decided on a year ago, really took away the freedoms from women. I think about abortion, I think about reproductive rights, and that was unprecedented. Now you fast forward to what we saw last week, affirmative action, again, taking away important constitutional rights that have been in place for a long time. Let's not forget, the president was, when he was a senator, he was the chair of Judiciary Committee. He is an expert on this. He understands how this works. A lot of these unprecedented decision that this SCOTUS has made, they have been held up in the past by Republicans, by Democrats, right? And so there's so much changes that have happened in the past year, and it is, you know, unheard of. It is really wrong what we've seen.
If you don't like, if you want something, if you retitle it a right, it changes the argument. Now you're taking away rights, but you can't just declare something a right.
And Corinne Jean-Pierre knew she could say that because she was being interviewed by a liberal network.
Yep.
My question to her would be, where does it say in the Constitution that you have a constitutional right to an abortion? Excuse me, where does it say in the Constitution that your skin color gives you a constitutional right to be favored for admissions to medical schools? Tell me, where does it say that?
Yeah, and it doesn't.
No.
It's the same argument that they have when they talk about inventing rights. They also They talk about also having that they are the ones that grant the rights. Mm-hmm. It's no longer a God-given right. Mm-hmm. It's a man-given right. And that, therefore, they can say, if we can say it's a right, we can take it away, we can give it. And it's just a lousy, wrong reading of the law.
All right, next story.
All right, hey, I've got bad news for you guys.
Well, that's what we want to close on.
I know we do.
More bad news.
Yes. So I know you guys were talking last hour about the shark problem in the water.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, as opposed to shark problems on land.
Well, you have to stay out of
that's
the water.
That would be really apocalyptic. Right,
well,
there.
I have bad news for you.
Okay.
It's happening. We have this body cam footage that we just received, and I want you to hear it. This is cut 15 or 14.
Who is it?
Plumber.
Plumber? I didn't ask for a plumber. Who is it?
Telegram.
Oh, telegram. Just a moment.
What is it? Land shark.
There you go. It's
land shark.
The land shark.
That sounded like it was like Carol Burnett or something.
That was an SNL skit back from the 70s.
Okay. Oh, when Jaws came out.
Yes, yes.
It scared all of us.
And so the skit was, they'd have a knock at the door and the land shark would say, plumber. I didn't call for a plumber. Insurance. I don't need insurance. Candygram. Oh, Candygram. Open it up.
Just that music alone makes your heart start racing.
That's right.
No, right.
That Jaws music.
So you can say stay out of the water, but don't answer the door either, apparently.
Land shark.
Land shark. By the way, is it Mississippi State that has decided that they are the
No, it's
the
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
Something about that.
Fins up were the land shark, and I always thought you are making a joke of yourself because that's an SNL joke. That's
right. All right, Steve, I'll let you take the calls and emails from Ole Miss fans. Okay. I didn't say that, people.
Hotty toddy, folks.
No. Land shark. I think it's a bear, too, or something.
Is it?
I think so.
I don't know.
I think Jimmy Buffett made that popular or something like that.
All right. Hey, are you guys tired of telemarketers?
Well, my phone blocks them.
Yes.
Yeah, I get spam blocks.
Well, maybe you try this, because have you ever wanted to just, like, get back at a telemarketer and, you know, make them stop calling? Well, they're now using AI to do this, artificial intelligence. They have programmed it so that it answers the phone when a telemarketer calls, and it keeps the guy or the gal on the phone for – it just strings them along.
That's
funny.
I might
want that. Tell me more about it, and they will spend – well, I doubt anybody.
Hey, this isn't a telemarketer, but my uncle. I think I've told y'all this before. So this is 20 years ago. My uncle told me, he said, "Hey, my phone number is one digit from being Pizza Hut delivery." He said, "So I get calls all the time. I'm gonna have to get my number changed. I get all the calls all the time for Pizza Hut delivery. I'd say you got the wrong number." He said, "So I finally just got worn down." And I just started taking their orders.
Oh, no.
Did he call them into the actual Pizza Hut?
No, they call in and he says, he tells them, "I'm not, you know, you got the wrong number." They said, "No, this is Pizza Hut." He goes, "Well, all right, then, what do you want?" And they never get their pizza.
They learn the hard
way. Learn the hard way. Also, never get your telephone number one digit away from a food delivery service, Fred.
That could be a nightmare.
All right. Have a great afternoon, everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of Today's Issues.